Well, welcome to the Road Safety Podcast. This is a podcast that helps share how to manage the risks associated with driving and riding for work with me, Dr. Karen McDonnell, Occupational Health and Safety Policy Advisor at RoSPA. This how-to podcast series is part of the work of the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance project, funded by Transport Scotland and delivered by RoSPA, that contribute to Scotland's Road Safety Framework to 2030. Evidence shows that speed, seatbelts, distraction, fatigue, drink-drug driving and driver health remain key issues for people and organisations. This how-to series provides insights into how one organisation has tackled these issues and shares the lessons learned. Today's episode is all about driver health, fitness to drive and the value that safe and healthy drivers add to an organisation and where do they fit within an overall strategy for managing driving risk. I'm joined by Fiona O'Donnell, Global Health and Safety Strategy Lead at Jacobs, who's passionate about getting road safety right. Getting road safety and driving for work right is a life skill, from learning to cross the road, cycle, driving your first car, and then driving and riding for work. Taking ownership of driver health from both a personal and organisational perspective helps keep people safe on our roads. So Fiona, how do conversations about driver health fit within your overall strategy for managing driving risk?
Yeah, this is one where we kind of get into the culture of an organisation, isn't it? Because we need our people to be forthcoming with issues that they have. And it goes, you know, this is all about managing the risk, obviously, the managing the work-related road risk, obviously. But this is where the rubber hits the road in terms of the culture that you have within your organisation. We can have all the policies and procedures that we want, but if people are not actually, if they don't feel comfortable and safe coming forward and discussing how mentally and physically fit they are getting into the car, then, you know, the policy isn't worth the paper that it's written on. So this is where culture and policy have to come together in managing work-related road risk, in my view.
Within the overall conversation about fit to drive, fatigue and eyesight are of a particular concern. What systems do you have in place to assess and then manage that risk?
Yeah, so we have a fully integrated travel risk management process. It looks at who you are, where you're driving, how you're getting there. It looks at your working week, the hours that you're working, your eyesight. You're required, obviously, to have an eyesight test every 2 years. And that leads to then you being issued with a permit to drive. And once we've satisfied all of those areas, both physical and mental, in terms of how you get into the car and your preparedness for getting into the car, you're issued with a permit. And it's not until you have that permit in place that we can allow you to drive, because we know all the checks and balances have been done.
And in terms of the, from a driving and riding for work perspective, we've very much been thinking about the role of employers working with employees to be safer and healthier for longer. I mean, we have people staying in work for much longer. We've got an aging demographic and older road users, for example. So where do you think these kind of organisational checks and balances could perhaps influence fitness to drive on our roads? Do you think there's a role there for business to play?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it's just the length of time people are spending in work. It's what they're doing in work as well. I mean, the fact that hybrid working means that we have a much more transactional approach to work now. You are constantly on. So, you know, you go into an office and there's a certain amount of downtime in an office because you're interacting with people and you're meeting in the canteen and you're stopping in the corridor and you're having discussions. But when you're hybrid working, there's obviously a mix of that. And I think the fact that we are so transactional now, every interaction online is because I need something or you need something. It's draining. And we know there's a meeting culture now and people are having meetings for the sake of having meetings. So the mentally, you don't just have to be doing a physically demanding task for it to have an impact on your health. You know, it can be absolutely draining, that constant on that we hear about now, and that burnout conversation that's such a hot topic in the industry just now. There's loads employers can do. Having a really robust process in place that outlines how an organization is going to manage all of these, both the physical aspects of work and the mental aspects of work, to make sure that your work-related road risk program actually works, and there is value to the individual who has to get into the car and make a decision at the end of the day.
The Road Safety Podcast is brought to you by the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance and funded by Transport Scotland. For further information, visit our website www.scorsa.org.uk. At the end of the day, I mean, we are all like, we're whole people with whole lives, and there's that bit of you that goes to work, and fitness to drive can be affected by medical conditions, temporary illnesses, substances such as alcohol, and even the environment within which we work, drive and live. So how do you help people bring themselves to work in a way that they're not impaired by things that are happening to them outside work? Or what, again, what kind of conversations would you have if you felt that somebody perhaps was distracted and not focused on the tasks they were undertaking on behalf of you as an employer?
Yeah, it's all about understanding, isn't it, Karen? And, you know, we have a Beyond Zero culture of caring in our organisation, and it really puts an accountability on our people managers to genuinely care about their staff. So I just, it's kind of alien to me and Jacobs. And I'm not saying that we don't have challenges. We absolutely have challenges with this, and we have challenges all the time. But it is kind of alien to me, you know, wouldn't happen where we'd have somebody putting pressure on one of our staff to go out and do something that they were uncomfortable with. So if there was something, you know, a medical condition, or there was some reason why somebody couldn't drive or shouldn't drive or would come up high risk on a risk assessment, right now, you know, we're whatever years, we're 13, 14 years down this journey of managing work-related road risk, it certainly wouldn't happen now. Did it happen back in 2006? Probably. Don't need to be naive about it. It probably did happen. It just wouldn't happen now for us in our organisation, which is amazing, right? But I get there are organisations out there that still are you know, might be the middle of their journey or at the start of their journey, or organisations that haven't even started yet.
So in terms of having this person-centred approach, you know, investing in your people works for people and organisations. And the thing with health changes, it can be you know, it's sort of very ebb and flow whether people are in good health or not. But we also have this thing, for example, with maybe a seasonal variation where in the summer you've got real issues with hay fever. You should really be having those conversations with your employer if you are susceptible to or have hay fever, if you're taking medication that is either prescribed or over the counter that perhaps could impair your driving, so that there's that element of drowsiness as a consequence. I mean, is that something, you know, again, it does come down to the culture of the organisation, but it certainly is a conversation we should be having.
Yeah, and an awareness of it as well, and an understanding that you can have these conversations and that it's safe to have these conversations. Again, this goes back to the relationship between our teams and the engagement that our teams have and the understanding that our teams have. And then, of course, the process comes into it. So our travel planning process will get into the nitty-gritty of where you're going, how you're feeling, whether you are comfortable doing what we're asking you to do, whether you're trained to do what we're asking you to do in terms of you know, driving. Have you had the right level of training? Do we know? And have we got governance over the type of license you have, the type of insurance you have, the type of, you know, what happened when you did your training? That's it's all part of and should be part of an integrated program to manage work-related road risk within your organization. But those conversations are key, Karen. You know, we've spoken about it before, we can't have a procedure in isolation. Those personal interactions between two people in planning a trip or planning a journey or planning a task are absolutely vital to making this work.
And the interaction between people really is at the heart of this conversation. So we've got a situation perhaps where you notice that the demeanour of one of your colleagues has changed. You think perhaps they might be struggling with work. And that relationship piece, how best should someone approach their employer about this? You know, because really there is that culture of care. We're concerned about that individual. But by the same token, we want it to be an open conversation that's supportive and keeps them safe and healthy at work. How best to approach that?
Yeah, and this needs to be dealt with really on a case-by-case basis. We, you know, I've been involved in loads of situations where I've had somebody ring me up or someone ring up one of the team to say, look, I'm really concerned about this person. They're, you know, they're acting strangely, or their behaviours have changed, or, you know, I'm concerned about something that I've heard is going on or whatever. Very sensitive situations. So, you know, you've got to deal with them very, very sensitively. But there's just an understanding in Jacobs that we step up and we have each other's back, and that goes for the work that they're planning. So if we have somebody that's going out that there's a concern over and they're going to do safety critical work, like they're getting into a car to drive for us, there would be a conversation that would be had about that. But again, you've got to involve, look, it needs to be dealt with in the right way, and you've got to involve your HR group in that to help you navigate your way through that conversation. But you know, asking the question is the very first approach.
Well, my thanks to Fiona O'Donnell, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your usual podcast provider so you don't miss an episode. And we'd love it if you could leave a review. It really does make the podcast easier for others to find. The Road Safety Podcast is produced by Fresh Air Production. I'm Karen McDonnell, and thank you for listening.